Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. My special guest today is Aaron Jarizal, Associate Professor and Department Chair of Theater and Musical Theater at the Turbo University. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely, happy to chat today.
And so it's the Turbo, or Viterbo,
yes.
Or I've heard it said so many different ways. It's Viterbo though, yeah?
It is. So it's an Italian city, so you can get very Italian with it and go Viterbo, but most people in the Midwest say Viterbo.
That's what I thought, but I always question myself whenever I say it out loud. So we like to get to know the person before the program, of course. So Aaron, if you could tell us a little bit about your career and training that's led you up to your time at Viterbo.
Sure. Yeah. So I have a somewhat untraditional path. I've been listening to a lot of your podcasts with other department chairs, and many of them are like, I was a theater kid. That was not me. I sang and things like that, but I was headed off to my undergraduate college experience to be a neurobiology major and was really interested in the sciences. And then I say I had my midlife crisis. I went to New York. I grew up in California. So my family and I took a trip to New York when I graduated, and I saw some Broadway shows and had like all of a sudden this epiphany of, oh my gosh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I started out college at UC Santa Cruz and studied both science and acting, and then auditioned for schools as a transfer and wound up at Syracuse as a music theater major. Which was pretty uncommon to be a transfer student there. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, we can talk more about that later in terms of how transfer students fit into our program. But I had a great 3 years at Syracuse and graduated, went on tour for a year before cell phones, before all that stuff. I didn't even have a laptop. I was just on the road, and then moved to New York. And I was there for almost 20 years working as an actor and, you know, the other things that actors do, teaching as an adjunct and things like that. Got my master's degree from the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. And then about 4 years ago, came here to Viterbo to take this full-time teaching job. So while I was in New York, I, you know, led that gypsy actor life where you go and you do the shows, and summer stock's great, and you do the tours here and there, but then you have a lot of ways that you try to find jobs and artistic outlets when you're in the city. And I am somebody who got my card very late. You know, I'm using air quotes here. I was a lot older when I decided to take my card, so I like that I have a lot of time and experience in the non-union world and in the union world. So those are all the various experiences that kept me busy before coming to Viterbo.
I don't think it's all that non-traditional. I always laugh at that because everyone seems to say, well, I had a non-traditional. But I think what we've come to realize is that people who are working in the theater, there is no traditional path, really. It's more about finding your path just by keeping yourself artistically challenged and doing what you love. So I wouldn't say you're, for better or for worse, you're not all that unconventional.
Sure. I suppose that's true. And probably more and more these days. I think I always felt a little bit, you know, it's always the common joke. People will make jokes about, like, you're in a room full of actors and nobody likes or can do math. And I was always like, wait, I loved calculus. You know, so I think they're, you know, it's coming to terms with my nerdy math side in addition to my artistic side. But yes.
So, as you listen to some other episodes, you know that I ask everyone to give the elevator pitch, the elevator speech on Viterbo's program. So 60 seconds or less, give us the highlights.
Sure, yeah. So Viterbo's program, it's BFA and BA training options. It's very conservatory style within a liberal arts institution. But I think the fun parts are, is we have really exciting facilities, we have compassionate training, and then my favorite phrase is we really seek out a lot of rigorous joy and holding each other accountable to that. We see our building as being about people first and product second. And so while we really try to create a rigorous conservatory training, we're here to help shepherd these young people into the next phase of their life, first and foremost, even more so than anything else. So I think our program's, you know, a really compassionate, individualized, attention-based program.
And you are chair of the theater department and the musical theater department. So there is a BFA available in both theater and musical theater, and then a BA in theater, correct?
Yes. So there's a BA in theater, which is a very general studies degree. And then there's a BFA in music theater, a BFA in acting, and a BFA in stage management. And our BFA acting and BFA music theater programs are very embedded with each other. Depending on a student's interest, while this is not official, we sort of do consider our BFA acting track almost like an acting track with a minor in music theater, because our students have required dance, required voice, they audition for all the shows, they're cast in the musicals the same way. So when we look at, you know, sometimes I'm in auditions and I forget who's in what major because they're really just all there as artists. They may have some particular more focus on the acting side and taking a few different classes. But in general, if a student has an interest in an area, we try to provide them as much opportunity to take those classes and have those performance opportunities as much as possible.
So let's walk through an average or a typical week for a freshman. Well, how should we do this? You tell me. Do you want to go separately from musical theater or theater? Are they similar enough as a freshman that they're basically the same thing? How do you want to break that down?
They're similar enough. Yeah, we can kind of focus it on music theater because I know that's more the focus of these conversations, and I can add in where the theater major kind of is in there as well.
We are starting more. I am doing more theater and acting programs now, so killing two birds with one stone of this is a great segue into our
awesome
season of acting programs.
Perfect. Well, then we'll do. Yeah, so it's mostly similar. All of our conservatory students, our BFA and BA theater students, stage management, everything, everybody takes an acting fundamentals class their first semester here, which, you know, they do a lot of creative projects. It's starting to really dive into the conversations of what is art? What is what we do? What is this form of communication with a lot of different projects and things like that? Our music theater majors will start out with a dance class or two. We do a dance placement leveling session their first Sunday on campus. So some of them will be put into dance fundamentals, which is kind of touching on a little bit of everything. But then some of them will level into the other higher levels of dance if they've been dancing a while. And then they all start out with private voice lessons. They get 2 half-hour lessons a week. We kind of split that up because it's nice to have a touch-in with your voice teacher multiple times a week versus one long hour once a week. And then they also meet with a coach accompanist once a week to work on cuts, to work on rep, to work on just getting the nuts and bolts of their pieces, the rep that they're working on. They will also typically take... our music theater majors take something called Muth Lab, Music Theater Lab, which is kind of just a workout session for looking at how do we break down the acting of a song, how do we start to put together self-tapes, how do we start to put together cuts. They'll take usually music theory and or piano, depending. They'll take usually a core class, a gen ed class on the campus. Then they have the option for different, they can either take costuming, stagecraft, things like that. And then all students, because we do our auditions a semester prior, our freshmen are not cast in shows their first semester, but they do get involved in the shows in something we call practicum, which is working as a crew member, working in the shops, things like that. So that's typically their first semester. Our freshmen, both music theater and theater, also really like to get involved. The Midwest, this is new for me because I'm not a Midwesterner, they are really into show choir here. So we have a amazing show choir, two of them actually, Platinum Edition and then Diamond Edition, and they perform in our main stage and travel and host high school show choir competitions. And it's amazing for our students because they learn sequencing, they're learning so much rep very fast, putting on shows, amazing costumes, really fun to work on different material, both music theater, pop, you know, all this sort of stuff. Our show choir person Nancy Allen puts together these amazing programs. So most of our freshmen enjoy getting involved with that because it's a good performance opportunity first semester.
I am so intrigued by this. You have a show choir person, like a specific, wow. So like it's a, is it does the sorry, it's, I have so many questions. Does yeah. the show choir, is that part of a, do you have a choral program there, a music program that heads that up that musical theater kids can be part of? What is
yes.
what part of, what major involves that?
So yeah, the other majors in the conservatory are we have a music major and music performance, and then also music education. So we have other choirs as well, and often students will get involved there as well, getting to work on really beautiful choral music. They do a Christmas program every year. They do other programming every year. So our show choir faculty is also the faculty that teaches our music theory, and she sometimes does some of our music direction. So there's a lot of crossover in our building of music faculty. That means that we have some students who may have a really deep dive interest in music, and they take conducting classes, they take advanced music theory, they can really advance those music skills, composition, if that's something that they're interested in. So it's a fun kind of, our full building conservatory offers a lot of really fun, creative music and dance and things beyond just the traditional conservatory BFA tracks.
I want to come visit and see the show choir. I love sequins.
There are plenty of them.
So we hear a lot, several schools describe themselves as conservatory style within a university or within a college. And you have a conservatory at Viterbo that, for the performing arts, but that obviously means that students still have to have gen ed requirements. So, because the lines are so blurred, usually when we're talking about a conservatory at a university and blah, can you explain to us sort of what the core curriculum requirements are of your MT and your theater students?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I will say it's going through a lot of transition right now, because I do think a lot of liberal arts institutions are re-looking at where those core elements need to be broad and where they can be specified. So one of the things I like is that one of the core classes that they take is a first year experience. So every first year student and many faculty will read the same book, and we try to choose a book where that guest speaker can come in. And what I find really beautiful is when we have all these students in this acting fundamentals class, they're all also going through this class together where they're engaging with somebody else talking about their writing process, their art, their storytelling, and the connections they make in having conversations with students who aren't just theater students. They're in classes with nursing majors and business majors and all these people who have such different perspectives on the world. And I love nothing more than when students come back from their core classes and make some sort of connection or wonder why don't we have more plays and arts pieces that are about science, you know, after they've taken a, you know, ethics of science class and things like that. So there's a lot of classes that kind of double dip. So we have like a women in theater class. We have certain theater history classes that co-count for what would be considered your liberal arts credit in addition to some of your theater requirements. So a fair number of students will do that. But then there are also some classes that they're required to take that are just part of that, you know, we want you to be able to write well. We want you to be able to think critically. The university has a really strong mission with service and a really strong mission with values. And so there's a lot of connection to that in the classes that they create and do. In general, students are able to find classes that pique some sort of curiosity for them. Every now and again, there's a class where it's like, yep, okay, you're just taking that class this semester because you need to. But most of the time, students will say they kind of enjoy getting a break from the Fine Arts Center building because, you know, they're around the same people. We're the same 100 people in a building all day, every day. They sort of enjoy sometimes getting a break to just go talk to real people who have totally different perspectives potentially on their thoughts and their beliefs and their you know, foundational thinking.
Great. Walk us through some performance opportunity or what the performance opportunities are there. And I know you mentioned that freshmen don't get the opportunity until the second semester, but how many shows a year are there? Are there student-led productions? Tell us all about performance opportunities.
Sure. So the main ones in our building, we do 5 to 6 productions a year, kind of depending. We typically do a big musical in our main stage, which is an 1,100-seat touring roadhouse. That's where we start our first musical of the season. Then we typically do a play in our downtown theater space, which is a 450-seat kind of regional theater style space called the Weber Center. It's right on the Mississippi River, gets the most amazing sunsets. And we typically do a play then in that November spot. And then three shows in spring semester. So we typically do a smaller, either musical or play, in a January, February spot, either a musical or a play in the next spot, and then either a musical or a play in the next spot. So depending on the years, you know, we are trying to balance the opportunities between our music theater students and our acting students, but they all audition for everything. So one of the things that I think is somewhat unique about Viterbo, and honestly my favorite part of what I do as my job as chair, is our season selection committee is actually made up of more students than faculty. Our students are very involved in choosing our season. And so they really shape, you know, what's our stories to tell right now, what stories are interesting to us, what stories does this community need to hear, what balances resources in our building. So they start learning about thoughts about arts administration. They start learning about thoughts about, you know, we don't just choose things always because we want to. We have to figure out how do we balance a lot of needs in order to create a season that serves a lot of different people. So depending on those conversations, we can wind up with very different things. This year, we kind of bucked the trend a little bit, and we started with an outdoor production because we wanted to be COVID mindful, and then did our main stage musical later. Some seasons we do smaller, more intimate musicals in rep, so we're actually producing more shows, but they're smaller casts. Some years they're bigger. So those are what the department puts on. And then, like I said, they can also get involved with the show choirs, which performs twice a year in that main stage 1,100-seat roadhouse. We do have a student theater group that has recently revived itself and is getting back into producing. But even outside that student theater group, if students present ideas they want to do, we have some budget set aside. They tend to just need to propose it. And if we have the space, we support it. And then the other performing opportunity that I find really lovely, this area is this really interesting kind of arts-loving community. We have a sort of local non-union, it's sort of a community theater, but also not, because they have an almost $1 million annual operating budget, and they put on these amazing shows. And so our students will sometimes audition for them. We just had two students in Sound of Music that they did at the end of last year. They're gonna be doing Next to Normal, you know, like we've had students in Mamma Mia. So our students have a lot of opportunities to go practice what they're learning in this space. And then many of our students will go do summer stock work and things like that. So they stay busy and engaged. Wow, for sure.
Sounds like it. That sounds great. Who knew all of that community, arts community, was there in La Crosse, Wisconsin? That's awesome.
Yeah, it is a surprise.
Talk to me about the ability to minor or even double major at Viterbo.
Sure. So we very much so encourage minors, and many of our students pursue a minor. Many of them are choosing department-based minors, so a lot of dance minors and then arts administration minors. But we also have some students who've minored in psychology and Spanish, you know, other programs outside of this building. You know, it's a pretty easy thing to do, especially if you know in advance that you want to do it. And, you know, we always encourage students to take the classes regardless, even if they don't complete the minor. If they're interested in it and it fits in their schedule, go for it. So we're very supportive of that. Double majoring is a little bit harder. Obviously, the BA makes that easier. We've had some of our acting majors who have done that. It's really hard to do as a music theater major, especially if you want to graduate in 4 years. So it's certainly not something that we just outright say no to, but it's typically a pretty involved conversation of if they really want to pack their schedule that much.
Right.
I do think one of the things that we're really good at that makes us a little bit different as a conservatory training program is we are really happy to look at transfer students, and typically have one to two, if not more than that, students that come in as transfer students that are able to graduate in 3 years, sometimes 2.5, depending on what they're coming in with. So I think the university is really good, and we try to be really good at looking at, okay, what type of training have they gotten coming in here? What can we consider, you know, that satisfies our degree? So we're very open to transfer students and very happy to have them join our programs.
Wonderful. Talk to us about some of the other key faculty members that students will be working with when they're there.
Sure. So they'll take a fair number of classes with me. I cross over teaching both music theater and acting classes. My master's degree is from the Shakespeare Theater, so I teach our first drama class. They'll take acting classes, voice and speech, and other classes with Rick Walters, one of our acting faculty. Dance is Shane Rhodes. He's one of those, you know, longtime Broadway hoofers who we are so lucky to have. And he teaches a lot of our music theater rep and jazz and things like that. And we have an amazing voice faculty who cross over into their who have had and still have performing careers that cross over into so many genres. And that's one of the things I like about our voice faculty, is that if we have students who are interested in exploring, you know, not just music theater rep, not just, you know, pop rep, things like that, they're very expansive in what they've done and teach in their careers and in their time here. We try to bring in as many guests as possible. Last year, with Broadway being shut down, we brought in Ali Solomon to teach for us for a semester, who's Broadway assistant choreographer, and one of our graduates, Arbender Robinson, who's in currently in Book of Mormon. He came for the whole semester and taught for us. So I think we love bringing in guests that for our students to experience and to learn from. So we're always trying to introduce them to new people and new ways of thinking and new ways of working. So it's not just the full-time faculty that they learn from while they're here.
That's great. So whenever I hear repeat concerns about a program, I always like to ask chairs to help us walk through what those concerns are. And the only concern that I've ever heard about the Turbo is the remoteness of it. La Crosse, Wisconsin is not, there's not a lot of direct flights. Talk to us about the area. Sell us on it.
Sure, yeah. Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I landed here to interview after having been in New York City for almost 20 years. And I spent, you know, 2 days here and thought, wait, am I actually thinking about moving to La Crosse, Wisconsin? You know? And I did. And I've been here 4 years. And the vibrancy of our building and the vibrancy of this community, I really have not felt as homesick for New York as I thought I would. We are in the middle of the country. You know, we're right on the Mississippi River, but so it's not flat Midwestern. We're kind of in this bluffs region where we have these beautiful, you know, state parks and mountains. So there's so much outdoor activity. I love to see photos of our students all going hiking together, going hanging down at the park by the Mississippi River. So it's a beautiful area. If you blindfolded me, put me here, and asked me to tell you what part of the country we were in, I would have told you like Vermont or New Hampshire. So it's not a traditional kind of your flat cornfield Midwestern look. But yeah, we are, you know, about 2 hours south of Minneapolis and about 4 hours north of Chicago, and then 2 hours over from Madison. So we're kind of in this area where, with a little bit of driving, you can be in a city. But when you are here and you're on campus, you're focused about being here on campus. And there's certainly fun things to do in town, but yeah, if a student is wanting an urban environment, we are not the school for them. And so what I find interesting is that, you know, we probably do at least one, I would say one, sometimes two a year, students will say, you know what, I love the training here, but I know for myself I want to be in a larger city environment. And absolutely, I understand that. But then what's interesting is we usually have one or two students transfer in because they were in a larger urban environment, realized it was so distracting to them, and they actually wanted to come to a place where they could just focus. And our facilities, I think, are bigger than what you would think by looking at a town like La Crosse, because we have that 1,100 seat roadhouse where tourists come through. We have that 450 seat downtown space. We have our 200 seat black box. We have our 300 seat recital hall. There's a La Crosse Symphony Orchestra, a La Crosse Jazz Orchestra, the La Crosse Community Theater with its $1 million annual operating budget. Like, and then also the state school in our town, University of Wisconsin La Crosse, you know, their 12,000 plus student population, they're three blocks from here. So students who want that very college downtown bar scene, we got it. So it's in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I mean, you're not going bar hopping like you are in New York City. But I think there's a lot of things to do while still staying very focused as a busy scheduled student.
Yeah. I've seen pictures and I've certainly watched videos and things of La Crosse and of the Turbo on YouTube, and it's like a postcard. I mean, even in the winter, it looks inviting. I mean, I'm sure for the video, they definitely didn't pick the days where all the snow was brown and it was all ice. But I'm glad to hear it come right from you. And there certainly are perks to being in a town that there's not a lot of big distractions. I mean, I went to school in New York City. I know that is not always the best. You don't always make the best decisions when that's happening. So yeah. I'm glad to hear you say that. And I'm also really excited to hear that there's so much by way of arts and things that outside of the university. So that's wonderful.
Absolutely. And we do, I just want to share on top of that, we do also try to be mindful, because of our location, that most of our performance classes are, pretty much all of them, are only Monday through Thursday. So students often have a very light schedule on Fridays, because we actually wanted to create the opportunity for them, if they have summer stock auditions, if they have things that they're trying to pursue, that being able to travel and or, you know, be gone for a Friday or Saturday, Sunday, you know, that's something we really try to be open to, knowing that we aren't right in the heart of all these things. And now with virtual auditions, I mean, my goodness, like, you know, you can live anywhere and have a career. Yeah. But we do try to honor that by creating schedules that allow for some travel flexibility, especially during, you know, spring semester where there's, you know, big auditions and summer stock auditions.
Of course. Let's transfer now to switch gears and talk about the audition process. We should separate these, musical theater and theater? Are the audition processes different?
It's basically the same. So right now, Rick Walters and myself do the majority of the auditioning. We have other faculty members who will join from time to time, but we really head up the recruitment. So you'll mostly be in contact with the two of us. And the processes are not all that dissimilar, and we actually have a lot of students who really audition for both programs. With the music theater audition, we may hear two songs, versus with the acting audition, we may hear a monologue and a song, or a monologue or two monologues. So we are a little bit of a choose your own adventure program, for we want students to share what they feel most confident about. So if they've said they're particularly interested in music theater, we definitely want to hear them sing first. If they've said that they're interested in the acting program, we usually see a monologue first. But we're happy to see kind of whatever students are, not whatever, I don't mean whatever, but to see whatever order and priority they feel shows them off best. I do think one thing that differentiates our process a little bit is we actually spend a lot more time talking with students in their first audition than waiting for the callback, because we don't pre-screen. So students will submit their videos and their materials on Accepted, and we review those materials in advance, but we create an audition space for anybody who wants to audition. So we use the Accepted portfolio more as our kind of filing cabinet, and then to show, you know, students to other faculty who are not able to be at those auditions. So our audition, most students, you know, they're around 10 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes, depending on whether it's a, you know, on-campus audition or like Unifieds or things like that. They'll do a piece or two, and then we'll spend 7 to 8 minutes talking to them. And in their very first audition, because we want to get to know them as people, and we want them to get to know us as people first and foremost. So the material, while important, and yes, we want to see all the things that people talk about in terms of like, can you match pitch? Do you have a sense of your scene partner? Are you trying to achieve something? Are you showing us a sense of when you're winning and losing? But more importantly, we want to see that they're excited about the material that they've chosen and that they're excited to walk in this room and share with us what they think their skill set is, wherever it may be at that moment.
Yeah, I know I can remember several students that you redirected to other majors within the conservatory, either acting or I think I've even remember students auditioning for musical theater that were also offered spots in vocal performance from mm-hmm. their audition, not even knowing that they were being considered for that. So that's actually kind of a cool opportunity for them. You mentioned you do not pre-screen, which is always good to know. About how many applicants do you see each year?
Yeah, so it kind of depends because we go to a few of the larger, you know, audition events like College Audition Project and obviously Unified's walk-ins, especially when it was in person. We saw a lot of students that way. But when we look at, and we go to the Moonified's and things like that, but when we look at who is submitting directly for our on-campus auditions, we're, depending on the year, you know, probably around 200, 150, 200, and then we're seeing additional couple hundred students through the various other ways that we go to those audition events. So, you know, last year was a crazy year where, you know, everyone was seeing these numbers that were just huge. So it varies year to year, but probably all told, seeing, you know, considering 250 to 450 students every year that are coming through our process.
And what is the target incoming class size for both? And I'm sorry, are those numbers theater and musical theater combined?
Yeah, theater and music theater combined.
And so your target incoming class size?
It really depends year to year on partly the size of the graduating class and then the balance of overall building numbers. So we aim to be a full department at around 100 students. So that's BA students, music theater, acting, and stage management. The largest program we typically always have is our music theater track. So we, one year, like COVID year, first COVID year, we had had a really large class graduate. So we had a really large class last year, smaller, et cetera, et cetera. So it can be anywhere from music theater from 12 students to 18 students is what we aim for. The acting program, we're aiming for around 10, and then stage management and usually a handful of BA students. But again, those numbers vary. If we have, you know, fewer acting majors, then we have more space for some music theater majors and vice versa. What we do commit to is that our section sizes stay small. So if we need to create multiple sections for a music theater class or things like that, we want to keep that individualized attention within the class and make sure that we can also support that many students with performance opportunities. But the particular class to class, those numbers can vary.
Okay. Great. So when students are meeting you for the first time and interviewing for you, what are the qualities that you're looking for a student that you're going to make an offer to?
Sure. I think the biggest one, which I know is not unique to our program, is we love when students seem really curious about life. And yeah, some of those curiosities should absolutely be the arts and theater. But if there's curiosities that are bigger than that, those are really interesting to hear about and know about. And not that a student has to come in sort of ready to share those, but in the course of getting to know them, you hear a sense that they're really interested about just being a person in the world. That is going to serve them in our program very well. I think we look for students who are not necessarily the polished, finished product yet. If there's a student who, you know, could be in New York auditioning for Broadway right now, there's a part of me that's like, they should go do it, you know? And like, you don't always know what those qualities are. But I think our program does really well with students who, especially if they've come from areas or high school programs where they aren't taking all the extra training programs. Maybe they don't have a high school teacher who is super steeped in preparing them for auditions. We try to see the spark of something underneath the potentially final product. We have a lot of students who come in like just unbelievably talented and have really great training, and I think we serve them well. And I think we also serve well students who are earlier in their journey of figuring out how to put the pieces together. So it's that, you know, intrinsic, I don't know, a little something that just makes you excited to want to continue talking to them.
Well said. Tell us something that you are looking forward to this year.
Well, I'm very proud that partly because of our size, because we are a smaller campus, we have been able to be in person we were in person all last year and have, knockwood, you know, been in person this year with performances. And I say the big knockwood right now because everything's, you know, crazy. But so I think what I'm excited for is, you know, last year, because there were just so many changes all the time, it felt like we were reinventing the wheel every single moment. And I think what I'm excited for is for all of us, faculty and students, to trust that we can approach exploring our shows and our classes with just some deeper breaths again. It just feels like everybody has been holding their breath so tight. And, you know, just the white knuckle, like, we gotta get through this, you know? And so I'm excited for us to just have some silence every now and again, and have some space every now and again, because I think our students, so many of them, are really excited to have some really interesting new ideas about their type, their training, their material, their whatever. And so, I don't know, that's a pretty woo-woo answer, but mm-hmm. I just am excited for some deep breathing.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. So if students out there listening to this want to know more about the Turbos programs, how do they get in touch?
Honestly, the easiest thing is to just give yourself a Google search of Viterbo University, V-I-T-E-R-B-O, Viterbo University, Conservatory for the Performing Arts, or Theater and Music Theater, and you'll see everything that you need to see come up, our website, all those connections. I really love that our social media is almost predominantly student-run, so our Instagram and TikTok, it's not overproduced. It's students, it's takeovers, it's snippets. You get a real feel for the energy in our building. So you can look up on Instagram and TikTok. We are on Facebook, but that's more for their parents, I imagine. And looking up Viterbo Theater and Music Theater, and that stuff will come up. And then you'll be connected to either me or Rick. You can reach out to either of us. Our emails are on our website. And then also Tony Groshek and Jackie Morris, they handle a lot of our email communication for recruitment. I will say one of the things I love about Viterbo is when you apply or when you start asking questions, our admissions, you are assigned an admissions person, and they connect you with students for phone calls, for Zooms, in-person visits. They're very good about making it a very connected, personal process. You're not just sent to the admissions. You talk to Jackie. So I think families always feel very well cared for in our process, because you tend to get an answer pretty quickly if you have any questions.
Great. Wonderful. Erin, it's so great to see you and chat with you. Because of COVID, we haven't seen each other in person in a long time, so I'm looking forward to that opportunity again soon.
Me as well. Me as well, for sure.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.